Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good morning, everybody. This is Charlie Epps in Houston, Texas, live at the Yahoo Sports Radio complex in the Galleria. And we're getting ready to talk golf, but golf worldwide. It's October. Football has started, but golf is still going on. There's so many great activities going on. It's unbelievable. And today, as always, we are brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance, a Houston-based company that specializes in helping small businesses. If you're in the need for, you know, a little motivation to get your business going a little more, some help, specific information about health care regulations, things like that, go on to Insperity.com and let them help you make your business a big success. So thanks to Insperity. We're also Longwood Golf Club, where I have some relationships. Great golf course in Houston, Texas, 27 holes of golf. Beautiful place to play. Go out there and play some golf with Tim Sulak and his team of professionals. But going to the golf world, we're talking the President's Cup, which is in Korea. We have Steve Elkington, who will be our guest at the bottom of the hour. Steve is a former player of on the President's Cup from Australia. Came to the United States when he was a young boy and started his golfing career at the University of Houston, became an All-American, went on to great success on the PGA Tour. We're going to talk golf with Steve at the bottom of the hour. We're also going to talk with my good friend Billy Sitton about his tournament in Mexico. The ladies are playing in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, which is on the other side of the date line for us that live here in the United States, and it's an exciting tournament there in Kuala Lumpur. Of course, you know, you don't know what day it is. Today it's Saturday, but it's Sunday over there. So we'll talk a little about the ladies a little later. We have the Senior Championship, the SAS Championship being played in North Carolina. And, of course, Bernard Langer is leading by two. It's just an incredible athlete at the age of 57 or whatever he is, and he keeps on dominating that scene. And then we have the Trinity in Trinity, Texas, the tournament called the Spirit, which is really the Olympics established in 2001. Corby Robertson started a tournament called the Spirit, and it mirrors the Olympic spirit. It's just a wonderful event. I was the captain of the first team on the United States. We've got 20 countries participating. We'll talk a little about that at the end of the hour. The British Masters is back over in England. They're playing over there. So golf is alive. Golf is well. But we're going to talk more specific about the President's Cup. We're starting the PGA Tour next week, the fries.com. The tour, the wraparound season, that gets going. So golf is healthy, even though the off season only lasted for about 2 weeks. Golf starts again on the professional level. Amateur tournaments are always going on. We just finished with a city amateur here in Houston, won by Mr. Van Zant, which was really good. The senior, so golf is golf, and it's follow the sun, like the title to the movie about Mr. Ben Hogan. We follow the sun, and it's 365 days a year. We get to enjoy it. Right, Dave? Yeah, I caught you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, golf is a great game. I'm really hooked on it after 61 years of golf, I still get excited when I make a good shot, and I still get hot when I make a bad shot.
Oh, not at all.
I'm only human, right?
Of course.
Billy Harmon, who is usually our special guest on the show, he is actually in Korea. He is the special assistant to his friend of many, many years, Jay Haas, so we don't have a visit from him. We'll have next week when he gets back. He'll explain to us all what went on behind the scenes, and it's heated up. So I think it's marvelous to see what Phil Mickelson can do to a golf tournament. He can get everybody's blood boiling. And yesterday an incident happened, and we'll get Steve Elkington's opinion about what happened. Steve trying to use an extra golf ball, and he's a Callaway player. It was a Titleist golf ball, and then the rules official made a big mistake. So it's kind of like in the NFL, you know, you love to hate the rules officials, because if they make a mistake, it's really a bad one, because it cost the United States team almost two holes. So we'll visit more on that. But right now we're going to go to Billy Sitton, who is the tournament chairman of a tournament that I love to play in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, the first, or actually it's the 7th of December of this year. This is the 26th playing of the event. It's a pro-am where you have one professional and four amateurs. Men and women can participate. It's at the beautiful Casa Magna Marriott in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it's so much fun. The weather is perfect in December in Puerto Vallarta. Puerto Vallarta is a very safe place to go and enjoy the Mexican hospitality. And the Casa Magna Marriott is, to me, one of the great resorts. It's right on the bay there in Puerto Vallarta. And you can sun and relax, play golf, have dinner, just do everything you want after a year of hard work. So we're having a little technical difficulty getting hold of Billy, but I'm sure he'll be with us here in a couple minutes. And then, so what we're going to do right now, Dave, is let's break, and we'll come right back. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
This is Charlie Epps, and we have on the line Billy Sitton, who his tournament is 58 days away in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Billy, just give us a quick update before you tee it up there at Hearthstone. I know you're getting ready to play, but y'all set for your tournament?
Yeah, we've got a good turnout this year. We're up about 20 teams over last year. We got a full field. We're really looking forward to it. Golf courses are in great shape, and as you know, Charlie, the weather's always perfect there.
Well, Billy, that is for sure. The 85 degrees and no wind, and the golf courses are great. And you know, you have perfected running a tournament for 600 people. It's unbelievable. Casa Magna does a wonderful job as your host. You got everything good, but it's because of your wife, Billy. It's not because of you.
Yeah, I've been told that for the last 28 years.
All right, well, you go tee it up. I just wanted to get a report from you. Full field, a lot of fun. Next year we'll have it about the same time, same station, and it's always a great week for everybody to relax and have a good time in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Billy, go play well and have fun.
All right, Charlie, thanks for the call. John, have a good morning.
All right. Well, that was Billy Harmon, Bill Sitton, excuse me, who is the chairman and the creator of the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am, which is a bucket list item for me, for you all to go down and play golf in Mexico, a perfect weather competition, three great golf courses. So go log on to Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am.com, and you'll find out all the information. It's very reasonable. It's not too expensive. And your wife can either play, or she can go to the spa every day, and you can play, and then you go to the bar that's inside the swimming pool, It's not a bad place to go, Dave.
A couple of goat beverages?
Yes, a couple. That's all you need. So, all right, now we're going to get ready for our next. Yes, I like that. Good sound effect. Our next guest, who's going to be on in about 10 minutes, Steve Elkington. Now, let me tell you a little about Steve Elkington. Steve is an Australian. As a young boy, he'd get in a bus and travel a couple hours to go take golf lessons. He won the Doug Sanders Jr. Invitational, and Coach Williams from University of Houston recruited him to come to the United States. And he showed up, and I was a pro at Houston Country Club, and Dick Harmon was a pro at River Oaks back in the early 80s. And we met Steve, and Steve, from day one, he had the sweetest swing I'd ever seen. And Dick and I saw him mature into a golfer, and he went and was very successful in college at the University of Houston, won a national championship with Billy Ray Brown, just did, you know, wonderful in college, got a good education, went out on the PGA Tour, and took a little while to win, but once he did win, in a period of 10 years, he won 10 times. He had 9 second place finishes, and he had 8 top 3. So, a wonderful, wonderful career. He's moved on into, his family. He's a member out at Champions. He's always been around Jackie Burke, and he really got into studying the golf swing. Steve's had one of the best swings I'd ever seen. It's still probably the logo of the PGA Tour is to me Steve's finish. So he had all of the tools to become a very successful tour player. He won a major championship, the PGA, where he, in overtime and in sudden death against Colin Montgomery. Boy, he lost a heartbreaker at the British Open 1 year. He almost won the PGA at an older age of about 45 up at Whistling Straits. But he's going to give us an insight on the President's Cup, what this means to the rest of the world, if you will. We always talk about the Ryder Cup, and the Ryder Cup is the United States against Great Britain, Ireland, and Europe. Now, the PGA Tour started the President's Cup, which puts the American PGA players against the rest of the world. The rest of the world starts with South Africa, Australia, Korea, Asia. And this year, it's finally coming to a head. We're leading, going into the last round just with a point differential. The international team has a great chance. Louis Oosthuizen and Brandon Grace have been undefeated in the President's Cup. So we're going to have to watch that. But we'll get all the information from Steve about what happened with the ruling with Phil Mickelson, which is an interesting thing that happened, and we'll discuss that in further detail. We'll talk about Jordan Spieth, how he is handling all the pressure of being the number one player in the world. So it'll be an interesting bottom-of-the-hour conversation with Steve Elkington. Now, the rest of the world, yes, the British Open, the British Masters over in London is come back. It's funny, the European Tour is really the Asian Tour. Most of the tournaments are outside of Europe that are on the calendar for the European Tour. But they're back in England, and they're playing the British Masters, which is good to see. Most of the stars are not playing, but that's okay. And then the Champions Tour, which is coming to a close. They're about to finish there. I think this is the last tournament before the Charles Schwab Cup final tournament in California. Bernard Langer is really dominating, but he's being pursued by Colin Montgomery, who in years play is right there with Bernard Langer, and there's so many great players on the Champions Tour. Tom Watson, at the age of 66, just finished second 2 weeks ago. So golf is a game of of a lifetime, and he is really playing well. So if you, you know, depending on your age and who you want to follow, you can see all sorts of golf swings. But the bottom line in my experience in radio has always been teaching golf on the radio. And we can learn from watching all these great players compete. But the bottom line is get yourself a PGA golf professional. He or she can help you grow your game. That's what you got to do with your kids. This afternoon after the show, I'm taking out my grandson. I'm going to go play golf with him. We got to keep the kids on the golf course, get them to learn the etiquette, get them to learn the rules, and it just creates a more fun-filled life for a junior if they have golf in their life. I really believe that. And the Spirit, that's a tournament that's being played in Trinity, Texas. It's a product of a good friend of mine, Corby Robertson, that developed a tournament that supports worldwide amateur golf. We have 20 countries in Texas this year competing at all sorts of different levels, two women, two men. They have a team championship, the four players together. Then they have a women's championship, and then they have the men's championship, all sorts of competition. But you can go out and you can watch this. It's in Trinity, Texas. Log on to spiritgolf.com and get all the information. You can go up there and you can walk the golf course. It's the number one golf course in Texas. It's magnificent. Just like Planet Augusta, you can see these young people who are going to be the champions of the future, because Jason Day, Paula Kramer, Martin Keimer, Jordan Spieth have all played in the Spirit as young amateurs, and then they go on to become professionals. So you can watch them as they mature, and they're so fun to watch. And then you have, you know, you have countries like Croatia have been there, Russia has been there, just on and on and on. What a wonderful event that they put on in Trinity, Texas. That's about 90 miles north of Houston, and it's beautiful. It's right on the Lake Livingston. They also have the home of Camp Olympia there. All the players stay together in a great atmosphere. So we're going to break right now. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Southern Texas PGA. You all stay tuned, because we're going to be right back.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
The mic is hot. We are back. We're getting ready to get Steve Elkington on the line to talk President's Cup. You know, and it's always based on bad blood. If you can get a little controversy going between teams, it's going to make the competition a little better. And so far, the President's Cup has, you know, been a kind of the stepchild of golf. The Ryder Cup is a premier event, but the premier event became a premier event because I think of Seriano Ballesteros. He brought a spirit that the United States had never confronted before, and they became very, very competitive. And here of late, the Ryder Cup has been dominated by Europe. Now we are in the midst of the internationals getting their feelings hurt, and rightfully so. But right on the line right now, we have Steve Elkington, who, you know, as I described earlier in the show, great career as a collegiate, great career as a PGA Tour player, playing this Champions Tour, but now he's really helping the University of Houston and his son play golf, and you're enjoying life. But Steve, let's get your opinion on what's happening in the international team. Let's talk about the President's Cup or anything that you want to talk about this morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you, mate?
I'm great. I appreciate you coming on today with us, and let's talk golf. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know, mate, I didn't stay up and watch the second series of the President's Cup. I think that finished about 3 a.m., but I did watch the first, Saturday morning series, the four-ball matches, where, right. I mean, really came down to the last hole, you know, and I was telling my wife there that it's so hard for me to pull against Bill Haas, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
One of the nicest guys in the world.
But I also, was feeling, you know, good for Sangmun Bae, who's a basically a Korean kid, and, you know, which brings me to the thing that, about the President's Cup that people, it's probably a little bit difficult for the average guy to understand. So when we played well in Australia and we won it in Australia, predominantly Australian crowd, and then when they were in South Africa, well, when we tied it, it was South African crowd, and now it's very difficult for us to feel like us, I think, over there that we're the home crowd, Charlie. I mean, there's a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I sure do, and the crowd has a lot to do with it. The first match, they didn't play Sangyoon Bae, the Korean, but he and David Lee did wonderful, and they're winning some points. He's going to be in the anchor match on the single matches on Sunday over there. But let's talk about start with the controversy with what happened to Phil Mickelson.
The information we got out of it is a little bit sketchy, but it's pretty easy to piece together. Phil's always, doing stuff. Charlie, you know that. He's always got, two drivers, one for fade, one for draw. He's got, right on the edge of everything. So in this case, for the average guy to be able to untangle this, now let's just forget first, let's separate what he did first.
Right.
And let's leave out what the rules officials did, because that happened later. Now, they've already made a mistake. They shouldn't have cost him. They should have let him play out the hole, okay? So let's separate the two. So the reason that Phil Mickelson, he violated what they call the one ball rule. Now, what does that mean? So any guy that's listening to this, I'm gonna ask them, when was the last time that anyone listening to this show that was playing in any kind of a tournament that thought it was okay to change brands in the middle of their round? And for example, we're going to hit a Titleist off the tee, or in his case, a Callaway off the tee, and then the next hole, we're going to change because it's into the wind. We're going to use a top flight or whatever it is, right?
Yes.
Has anyone ever done that?
Not in the last 10 years.
I mean, that kind of went out in the 70s, Charlie, when the Americans used to come over to Australia and the little ball, the 1.62 size ball.
Right.
Was there. I remember being a kid and Nicholas and Weisskopf came over and they used to play the Bellata ball downwind and then they turn around into the wind and play the little ball. And I remember being a kid in Australia for years after that, Weisskopf turned to Nicholas and said, we used to pretend in his accent, he said, this ball is definitely illegal. So, I don't know. I think Phil was getting a little too tricky there. And then to compound that, the rules officials made an error. But as Jay Haas said, if you're not speeding, you don't get a ticket. So I hope it doesn't come down to that half point. I mean, Phil gets a lot of leeway in the press and a lot of leeway with his fellow guys, but he has at least cost him half a point for sure, just from not looking at the rule sheet.
100%, and like you say, he lives on the edge. But I hate to say this, but it's good for the President's Cup. It's getting the internationals, with a little attitude against the Americans, and that's what it takes to really get things going. We saw in the Solheim Cup with Suzanne Patterson that didn't give the young lady the putt, and that kind of
fired him up. In this case, it went the other way. But you're right. We don't really have anything to hang our hat on. Now, the Americans have got a distinct advantage. And the other thing I wanted to note was the reason we get thumped so badly in this event, I think, is because obviously, the American teams are always very deep, and they're always very connected, and they know one another. That's great. We don't get our team together until very late, as everyone knows. Okay, they say that. Okay, that's fine. But we were playing for 34 points back in, you know, for the history of this cup. Now, what that means is that's a lot of points to be won to win the cup. So a lot of guys, Charlie, have got to get out on the course and win a point. Well, the Americans are much deeper.
Right.
We've always lobbied to go to 30 points, which has happened this year. Now, just for everyone out there thinking, well, Elkington and them, they just want it to be less points, so they got a chance. Well, guess what the Ryder Cup amount plays for? You know it.
28.
They play 28 points. So why can't we play for 28 points?
Yep. No.
So the point is, we've been lobbying for that, Charlie. And look, they've moved it from 34 to 30 this year, and here we are. And what's been the net result so far? The net result so far is it's going to be a really close weekend, right?
That's exactly right. It's going to be great. It's turned into good competition. And I think the President's Cup, when it was developed, they wanted to have a competition similar to the Ryder Cup, but they wanted to separate themselves. And so they didn't want to be a copycat. But if they got a formula that works, why not use it?
Well, sure. And you know what? You know, we don't like getting beat all the time, and Nick Price certainly doesn't want to get beat, and Greg Norman, all these captains that are great. But I tell you what I like about the President's Cup, even from my perspective, is to see these other guys, Sangmoon Bae and Lahiri, and some of these guys getting a lot of attention. And Charlie, you know that because you teach Angel Cabrera, there is millions of people watching this overseas, right?
Yes.
In India,
yes.
Thailand,
yes.
Japan.
Yes.
I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, yes. And I really believe the rest of the world is also, the European people are watching it because it's a great event. You've got the top players in the world. You've got Jordan Spieth and you've got Jason Day. And give me your overview. You really were one of the first guys to come to the United States to go to the university to really grow your game that way. And give me your opinion on Jason Day and what he's done this year.
Well, you know, every one of us have looked at Jason Day for the last 3 or 4 years. He's had all these, and I've been a little bit more critical than the average guy where they're saying, well, he's going to win. Because I've always been saying, well, I think he's got to hit it. I think he's got to swing a little slower with the short clubs. I think he's got to be whatever, you know, and all these things. Add a few more things to his game. Well, there's a couple of good things happened with him. One was Jordan Spieth came along, Ricky Fowler came along, Rory McIlroy came along, and now all of a sudden he got to see how these guys were winning right in front of him. And to me, Charlie, of course, he's had one of the best summers ever.
Yes.
He has developed more shots, to me. He's a great pitcher of the ball. He wasn't that great inside of a 100-yard game. We see that all the time now. I just, you know, Jason Day would be considered the premier. He'd be the Greg Norman. He was a power player.
Yes.
Now, Jordan Spieth, in my opinion, now people may say that he doesn't do anything any good. I say he does everything good.
Yeah, 100%.
I say he does everything really good. And he putts better than, you know, Lord Jesus himself.
He made so many more putts. He putts like Jackie Burke.
I read a stat, Charlie. Now, think about this. I read a stat when he won at Westlake this year, the Tour Championship, that he made 430-footer putts for the week.
That's incredible.
That's 100 and something each day. Now, okay, 100 and something? Are you kidding me? That's 100 footers, 425-footers.
That's right.
Mate, I haven't made 425-footers this year. Have you?
Well, you had your time in, you know, that 10-year spurt where you won 10 events and you won the Players' Championship twice and you won the PGA.
Yeah.
Can you stay with us until the top of the hour?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Steve Elkington talking more golf. This is the Charlie Ebbs Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance in the Southern Texas PGA. Stay tuned. Steve's got a lot more information for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
This is Charlie Epps, and I'm substituting for John Granato, who is away attending a family wedding. We are visiting with Steve Elkington, one of the tour stars of the 80s, a great junior player. He went to college, did everything in college, his successful career. Now you're helping your son get through his college career, Steve, and we're talking, you know, about the great players, and we talked about Jason Day. We were talking about Jordan Spieth making all the putts. Now let's just visit a couple minutes on your take on Tiger.
Well, you know, I think recently I read that where Nota Begay said Tiger understands that the sun is starting to set on his career. Now, it doesn't have to. I mean, in my opinion, you know, I think Tiger Woods went into a little bit of a phase, Charlie. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're an instructor. He went into the sort of, let's call it, like almost conventional golf teaching wasn't enough for him. He had to go into sort of this nuclear coaching where he had to get so technical and so looking at so many spins and so on. And, you know, mate, I've only ever been on a track man a couple times just to see, you know, how far I'm hitting my driver. But the last thing I would ever want to do is to get on a machine to have it tell me what I'm doing. Now, if he just had a laser or something and was just tracing the plane line, Charlie, on either end of the club, I mean, you take a guy like that, what would he do if the club was just tracking nicely?
He'd just play golf.
Just play golf. I mean, somewhere along the line, there's a wire popped out of the back of his TV, and when they put it back in, it went into a different spot, and he's, like I said, he's sort of chasing along I'm calling it a nuclear lesson because the average lesson is not good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think, that, you know, I've always gone with the belief of, you know, leave well enough alone. I'm involved with a player that has an immense amount of talent to hit a golf ball.
And he tells you no changes.
He says if you don't see anything, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And the trouble with instruction, and I've always had this philosophy, if don't change anything unless you know it's going to make a difference. If not, you encourage, you coach, you make sure that you like Claude Harmon told Dick about Lanny Watkins, just make sure he knows how to get to the bank to put his money in the bank.
That's right.
Leave his swing alone. But having said that, and I know you've been very, you know, you're a family man, you got a wonderful wife and daughter and a son, that's now playing collegiate golf. Give us a little insight to that relationship with you and Sam.
Well, Sam, you know, Sam grew up around Champions Club with Jackie Burke and I, and you know, you've known Sam ever since he was a little boy, and you know, his golf was, you know, for parents, they come to me all the time and ask me what they should do with their children to play golf, and I tell everyone the same thing. I said, unless your child is begging you to go to the golf course, don't take them. So that's number one. The second thing is when they want to leave the golf course, you take them straight home. I've never made Sam ever, you know, sometimes when he was little, he used to go to the golf course and he wanted to play in the bunker. I wanted him to hit bunker shots, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to make sandcastles, so I let him. The next week I said, hey, let's get yellow balls and we'll try to chip yellow balls onto, you know, the green, and he'll hit five, and then he wanted to go home or have a Snickers bar. This is when he was little.
Yep.
So what it did, Charlie, in my opinion, was it created only a good time for Sam when he came to the golf course. So he always wanted to go back to the course because I never made him stay there for the extra 3 hours while I practiced.
Right.
So, you know, he you know, the only thing I made him do when he was hitting the ball was made sure he had perfect grip, perfect fundamentals. It took a while to get that in there. But, wow, I mean, that kid, he's so he's got such great fundamentals, and he has all this speed, Charlie, that I never was gifted with speed, you know, like a runner. Like, we were at the University of Houston Cougar game the other night, 5-0. I just had to slip that in there. But Carl Lewis came by to visit with Sam and I, and
yeah,
we were talking the most decorated, you know, Olympian ever.
Yes.
And Carl was telling us that the human body can only run at its fastest point for 1 second. And I'm like, what is he going here?
Yeah.
He said, well, in the 100-meter run, he said, we're only going top speed for 1 second. The rest of the 90 meters, we're managing acceleration or deacceleration. Jeez. So it left me with very interesting thinking. And basically, Charlie, you know, golf made over 18 holes. We're managing a lot of things, but we're managing all the stuff that's maybe not going so well, right?
Right.
And then we have a burst of five birdies and we shoot 67. Well, Sam Sam's got so much speed, 185 mile an hour ball speed, but he doesn't manage the other. He doesn't manage the other 90 meters yet. But that's why he's in college.
That's maturity, right? That's just develop it. Don't rush it.
That's right.
That's but you know the other thing, Steve, that and you dominated golf in tournaments when you won the Players Championship, which you know to me is the fifth major. You got into a zone, correct?
I did. I finished up winning that tournament the second time by 7 strokes, and that's very hard. I spoke to the team yesterday a little bit. Our University of Houston golf team just right. won in Utah. They shot almost a record for 26 under par as a team the first day out there. That's 2 days, wow. 36 holes, but that's almost a record in NCAA golf. And then they lost some strokes at the end, and I told them that, you know, that's a sort of a learned skill, you know. Yeah. And I told them, I said, well, you know, I had the team there, and I said, well, what did Tiger hit off the 18th tee at Pebble Beach when he won the 2000 Pebble Beach tournament?
Right.
I think he hit a 4-iron.
Yeah, by 12.
Yeah, he won by 12, but he hit a 4-iron off the 18th. No one remembers. They just want to know that you won.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Charlie, always said, if you can't hit driver straight, hit 3-wood. If you're not 3-wood, keep going all the way to where you can get it in the fairway. So.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids, you know, they think that the trumpets want to be going on and the band's playing as they hit a 5-iron in there an inch on the last hole, but it doesn't really work that way, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, at the end of a tournament, you just want to manage yourself. And in my case, at the Players' Championship, Charlie, as you referenced, you know, I had everyone beat. So
right.
it was just up to me then to sort of manage myself in. And, of course, everyone knows the Players' Championship 17. All I have in my mind is a 17th hole. Mate, because I feel like if I'm going to go in the water on one shot, I'm going to go in, I'm going to put 5 more in. That's how I feel. You know, I don't feel any different from the amateur. Because, you know, there's a guy, as Billy Harmon told Jay Haas once, I got a guy standing up there on the 18th hole, you know, 500 yards from the 17th hole, with a check for $800,000, betting me I can't finish the hole in 7 over the last 2 holes.
I can do that.
I can do that.
Well,
so I had to trick myself.
Well, Steve, it's always a pleasure talking golf with you. We don't do it enough. I congratulate you on your family, on your success on the golf course. I hope we can visit soon. But who's going to win the President's Cup?
I was just texting with Jason Dufner, and we have to, if the Internationals are going to win, we got to have a real close look at matches 2, 3, 4, and the 2, 3, 4 matches will determine the outcome. If the Americans can control matches 2, 3, 4, then they'll win. If we can control 2, 3, 4, we could win.
Well, I just heard that it was announced that 2019 the President's Cup is going back to your homeland. And I just hope that you're the captain in 2019.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's going to Australia. They've told me news I didn't know, so that's fantastic. That's going to be great news for Australia.
Well, we're just running out of time. I thank you so much for your time, Steve.
Thank you,
Let's
Charlie.
Stay in
go
touch.
Cougars, go Astros, go International.
Attaboy, attaboy. Right. That's Steve Elkington, ladies and gentlemen. Talking golf on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, the Southern Texas PGA, the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am. But remember, you'll never have a bad day on the golf course if you work on your attitude. You got to have
all that positive
stuff, right, Dave?
Number one thing, huh?
Now, you have that Astros hat on. I mean, I haven't seen it all year long. You're just getting on the bandwagon.
Oh, I've been on the bandwagon.
Okay, all right. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour. That's Dave, my producer. Next week, we'll be back with Bill Harmon. We'll be back with John Granato. I'll be live from the Fries. Stay tuned, everybody. If you want help, go to Insperity.com. This is Charlie Epps, and I'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.